Hello and welcome to Worship Conversations, a podcast by Awakened Generation. We are a worship missions organization based in Singapore with a passion to equip and empower the church in all things worship. We're back with another deep dive episode where we explore core topics in our AG Worship School and answer some of our students' questions. On today's episode, we are back with Calvin and Ellaries, and we talk about hosting the Lord's presence in our everyday lives. Let's get to it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Deep Dive episode 4. Whoop, 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 whoop. And if you're on YouTube watching the video, you can see our background is a little bit different.
Welcome
to the Awakened Generation living room.
The greenhouse living room.
It's pretty.
The living room greenhouse. Of the greenhouse.
That's right. All right. And we are here with our senior leaders, Calvin and Ellaries. Good
Hello.
To be back.
Good to be back too. Thank you for inviting us.
How was your short podcast break?
Oh, we missed you. Hope you didn't miss
thank
us.
Thank you.
I mean, I hope you missed us too.
I did. although filming the podcast with Ian was quite funny.
Yes, I'm sure.
Catch up.
All right. We are back with another deep dive episode where we go through the key topics in our Awakened Generation Worship School Convergence.
Yes.
And this week, we're going to be talking about hosting his presence.
Woohoo!
Calvin was sharing on Monday for our school convergence about this topic, about hosting his presence. So today, we're just going to talk about it a little bit and then answer some student questions.
Yes.
Great.
Right. So
yes.
Do you have any like important thing that you want to
I think
us?
You should recap a little bit about, in a nutshell, what is hosting his presence? Just because, you know, there may be some new listeners today, some who are not our students, and they might want to know. Like,
that's right.
Yeah. What does hosting his presence look like?
Calvin.
Well, I mean, we all know the term host, right? When you invite a guest, you're into your house, whether it's a party, whether it's a function, if you're called the host, that means that you're aware of the different groups of people that are coming to your place, but particularly you're hosting the most important person, which is the VIP guest. And the position of a host is to not just taking care, but also the importance of I think meeting the needs, but also making sure that you go above and beyond to make the guest or the VIP, the person who's very important, feel welcome and feel at home.
Yeah.
And so what would you do to ensure that they are satisfied and they are blessed is that you have every detail in your mind, in your thought, in the way how you would want to ensure that you value that person who is important. And so that's why the theme or the subject of hosting his presence is that we are making sure and we are ensuring that God is welcome in our home, in our lives, in our hearts, in the places that we have invited him, because he's the most important person that we need to value and pay attention to. So in a nutshell, that's what I spoke about, and how do we ensure that we are ready to do that.
Yeah, so it's about orienting our lives around the person of the Holy Spirit, and knowing that we have 24/7 access to the Holy Spirit, and hosting his presence actually has more to do with us than, you know, Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit has been given to us. Yes. But now hosting his presence is whether we will have the awareness and grow and cultivate that awareness that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and how we can cultivate this 24/7 almost awareness that he is with us and he's constantly speaking to us as we abide in him. And this, I think, is a revelation that will really help us to grow as worshipers, that we don't become what I call boxy worshipers, where, you know, like where we box our lives into separate
compartmentalize
things. Compartmentalize. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah, that only when we lead worship and then we're aware of this, of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, when you become a compartmentalized worshiper, you know, we might move in that area of performance, you know, rather than that genuine, out of genuine relationship and abiding with God.
Yeah.
So.
And I think Calvin always uses this analogy of like, if you invite the, for example, the prime minister comes to your house, like how are you going to host him, right? How are you going to make him feel welcome? How are you going to make him feel like settled or rested in your house? You know, and you don't want to open your fridge and there's only expired milk.
And a little cabbage.
And a half-eaten cabbage.
Oh, pickle jar. I don't know why. It's a pickle jar.
Yeah, and so then I guess when we think about inviting Jesus and inviting God into our lives, into our, like, our homes, our little houses, then sometimes, you know, we kind of relegate him to like the toilet. Like, then shut the door and then we carry on with our lives.
Yeah.
Or we relegate him to our bedroom. Like, like, you know, on these spaces, but like, what does it mean to actually have the presence of God fill?
Yeah. Or we're more interested in fulfilling our own agenda and what's on our minds rather than prioritizing what's on his heart and mind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Do you have any stories of moments where, you know, you were kind of like doing your own thing, but then, you know, the presence of God was just kind of like, maybe nudging you or steering you, and therefore then you leaned into that and then things changed? Was there any of these moments?
Quite a lot of the times. I'm trying to think of a few, but every time I think
every day
one of the things that I think, you know, again, like, I'm not saying that we need to be obsessive, okay God, okay, what are you trying to say? I'm just like, I think just live naturally, and but just having in mind that the Lord is near you and he's willing to speak. He's willing to redirect you in situation. I like the analogy that, you know, Pastor Bill Johnson used about how in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, came out and it says that the heavens opened up or rendered. And then it says that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and rested upon Jesus. What's interesting that I found out that the doves are very, very gentle birds or animals, and they're not prone to noises. Mm-hmm. And so, I think, in fact, they are the cousins of a pigeon. So if you know pigeons, we have lots of pigeons here in Singapore and across the countries. And pigeons fly everywhere and anywhere. And especially if you have food, it comes near you. And pigeons are very fat. They're very chubby. Whereas doves, they are very, you know, lean and nice, and they're white, you know, fluffy kind of thing. But I noticed that if you see where can you find pigeons, that you can find them in the cities, you can find them in places that in the suburbs, but they can handle noises. Mm. They're not afraid of human beings. In fact, that's why they come near you, and unless you shoot them, then they moved on. And so, but what I noticed that if you find research that actually pigeons have many multiple partners in terms of procreation and so forth, But the doves, they have only one partner and they remain faithful together for a long time. And notice that dove is also a very sensitive bird, that any form of movement or any, you know, yeah, just loud noises, they will literally fly away. And so, and that shows you the I think the comparison or the depiction of that you know, the dove is gentle and they wait upon, they rest upon you. So when I heard that, I, you know, looked into that, I realized that's how the Holy Spirit, he is gentle, he is a comforter, he's looking for a place to rest. So if, let's say for example, a dove landed on your shoulder, how would you host a dove?
I would stop moving.
You would stop moving.
And
but
breathe slower.
Yeah, you breathe slower. But at the same time as well, you pay attention to every move that you make, that you have the dove in your mind to make sure that it stays calm, is rested there. Not to say that the Holy Spirit needs you to be calm, but I think just the awareness of that. And so we have tons of testimonies and stories where we will show up, especially in eateries, in places that we are having meals. And And I think one time, I can just remember right now that
ministry of eating.
Yeah, I mean, like one time we were in overseas at a restaurant. I remember showing up in the restaurant, and you know when the restaurant's not doing well, when they are having two for the price of three, three for the price of one, or something, you know, like, you know, and then they have big board sign sales, you know, like come eat, get one free, or something like that, and you know that that's a sign for business are not doing well, because you're trying to draw in customers, and I remember we walked into a restaurant, and this is after we had our ministry meeting. We were walking in, we were hungry, and you can tell it's so busy that there was nobody there, and the staff there, the waiters, was like swapping flies, really trying to get rid of that. I'm going, okay, but we just felt like we were let into this restaurant and sat there, and we just ordered, and again, we were just talking about the things of the Lord. We were just, you know, hosting his presence, say, hey, you know, Lord, you know, we're here and having, but I kid you not, within 10, 15 minutes, people literally started strolling into the restaurant. It was like, it became packed, and it's not even lunch hour, it's like maybe after 2 or 3 o'clock. And then you can tell by the response of, or the reaction of the waiters, they're like going crazy, like going nuts, hey, open the kitchen, you know, people are coming in, and so forth. And that moment we're eating, and I just felt the Holy Spirit says, because you have hosted me well, I want to, through you, I want to bless people.
Wow.
So I sometimes don't, you know, we don't realize that God, he loves and he likes being with us.
Mm.
And through our life, and you know, just like how the scripture of the Old Testament where Queen Sheba visited King Solomon, and the very thing that she says, I know now why God has blessed you, also King Solomon, because of his love for Israel. And I think sometimes through the anointing, through hosting the presence of God, God will use our life to actually bless and anoint people and really come and pour out to individual. But he's looking for a willing vessel to do that.
Yeah.
And so this didn't just happen once. This happens multiple times. And I realized that my life, the Lord may use me to bring influence, to bring blessing, and God, I want to be used by you for that.
Mm.
And so that's just an example that so I felt was important.
Yeah, I think when you really grow in hosting the presence of God, what happens is that your heart becomes very attuned to God's heart.
Mm.
And so then even throughout your day, whether you in ministry or whether you're at the gym, we have so many stories
at the gym too.
Being at the gym and just being a blessing, just like hearing God's heart for people and releasing what he's saying. Like I remember one time one of our coaches, we found out, you know, like he was getting married, and the Holy Spirit spoke to the both of us separately at that time, like, go and bless this person with the ang pao. Ang pao is a red packet, it's a money. That's how Asians love to bless people with money, especially for weddings and things like that. Yeah, so we went to the car, and then we got an ang pao, and we put some money in it, and we went to our coach, and we just said, hey, you know, you're getting married, right? We would love to bless you for your wedding. And he was very stunned. And then we also asked, like, yeah, and since we can't make your wedding, but we would love to pray for you, is that okay? This person was not a believer. And he said, sure, yes, please pray for me. And so right there at the gym, we gave the ang pao, and then we laid hands on the brother. And then we just blessed him, you know.
He was stunned. He was like,
yeah, yeah. And most, you know, when they're not believers, they don't really know what to do when you pray for them. So usually the eyes are just open throughout when you pray for them. But, you know, I really feel like something was deposited in this person's heart. You know, you know, when people experience the generosity of God, it really opens people's hearts to him. That's why I think one of the most powerful ways for us as believers to be a blessing to the world, and especially to people who don't know him, is acts of generosity. Because acts of generosity, you know, just opens people's heart that, you know, like, wow, is there a God that thinks about me? Is there a God that cares about my needs?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just, you know, one example at the gym. But usually, you know, especially for me, it's just really hearing God's heart for people, and then just releasing what he's saying. Like, I guess one of the most recent examples that happened was, so in our last revival night, which was at Bethesda Cathedral, like in a time of prayer, suddenly, because we were praying for the members of the church, and they were standing up, but there were a lot of people in the room. But I remember, like, in that moment, the Lord highlighted a certain group of people who were at the front to just honor them. And the word that I released was them really being like
like faithful prayer warriors and intercessors. Mm. And you could really feel like the Lord's delight upon them. And I think when we released the word, they really felt encouraged and honored that the Lord saw all their prayers, their faithfulness in standing with the church. And then after the event, that's when one of the leaders of the church approached me and said, like, "Hey, Aloys, did you realize that the group that you prayed for are the intercessory group of the church? Like, they are the, you know, the ones who have been so faithful." Wow. Like, yeah, as I know, I had no idea. It was really like the Holy Spirit just wanted to, you know, bless them and encourage them. And yeah, so I think that's what hosting His presence looks like. It's just that, you know, you're attuned to His heart and His heart for people, and you're constantly hearing when God speaks, and then you just step out in faith and just release what He's saying. Yeah.
Well, and I think what really struck me from your story is that hosting His presence is really like not about us.
No.
Like, it doesn't end with us. I mean, it is about us. Like,
starts just with us.
Yeah, the joy to be able to be in God's presence, be aware of His presence in our day-to-day.
Yeah.
But so much of it is actually God's heart for other people.
Yes, yep. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It's so that we can make disciples of all nations. It's actually for others.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, just an experience for us to feel like, woohoo, wow, I feel so great. Yeah. It's like His gift is for others.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. So good. Like, and Calvin Aloys, like, you guys really walk in this, like, you really walk the talk. And I just remembered, this is from the receiving end of Calvin Aloys' hosting the presence of God, right? Like, when I was a student, there was a month, that year in particular, or I think it was that particular month, like, I just remember, like, one of my secondary school classmates passed away very abruptly and quite randomly as well. Like, I think after convergence, because you used to stay in the next neighborhood from mine.
Oh, yes.
And then suddenly Neighbors. You guys just came out. And I know you don't do this for students in general, just to honor the student-mentor kind of relationship. But you guys were like, "Hey, Delphine, can we send you home? Like, do you want to go for supper?" And I just remember like, you guys care for me, like, you know. And I just remember sitting at Upper Thomson, the Zizha place. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, and then just sitting there, and then you guys just asked, like, "Oh, so how's this? Like, how do you know this friend?" Like, and it gave me such a wonderful space to talk about her.
Mm.
Like, because, like, there was no other venues to actually talk about, like, grief or talk about losing a friend. And then you guys just hearing me out, and I don't think I cried or anything. I wasn't particularly emotional, but it stuck.
Mm.
It really stuck. And it just showed me, like, wow, actually hosting the presence of God, like, really blesses people on such a deep level.
Yeah.
And it makes such an impact that you couldn't have orchestrated it yourself, you know, in your own strength.
And something I'm learning as well is, like, relationships really matter to God. Yeah, and so I'm learning to, you know, to know that God's priority is always people.
Yeah.
And so I know it's so easy in our culture to be very busy with, like, the things that I need to do, rather than be present, hearing the Holy Spirit and knowing who God has put in front of you to be a blessing.
That's good.
Yeah, so I think something that I've learned to, and still learning to press in more, is really like, "Lord, I'm available. And who is in front of me that you've put that I'm supposed to be a blessing to?"
Yeah,
yeah, because I think we can be very overcome with our to-do list.
Yes.
That sometimes we shut off that awareness, you know. But at any time, any moment, like, you know, God can use you to be a blessing to someone. It's just whether you want to prioritize that. What He wants over the list of things that you need to do. So just wanted to add that in.
That's so good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way how I host the presence of God is, wherever I go, if that place is, you know, like, the atmosphere or the surrounding, or is you kind of feel like it's dirty, or you kind of feel like it's weird, or I'm always taking a moment to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm in this place here. And I want you to be here, Lord. I want you to be known." And so I take a moment and just say, "Lord, through me, Lord, how can I serve? How can I be a blessing. I don't know, maybe I have this thing about me that maybe I learned this from my pastor many years back, you know, sorry to use a bathroom toilet example. Like sometimes when you go to places where the bathroom, like previous people have come and used it, like tissue papers everywhere, stuff like that. And I remember my pastor one day we went to the bathroom and he just, you know, after he basically got a bunch of like clean, like paper towels and he wiped the bench, he wiped everything, put it, and he looked at it and says, "Now this is the kingdom of God." And he walks out. I'm going, because wherever the kingdom of God is, light shine, things change, atmosphere change, you become safe, it becomes not just clean, but you feel like, okay, this is a better place. And so I started adopting that attitude that I go to, like, you know, restaurants, bathrooms, or, you know, public bathrooms, and I notice there are things that are messed up. I just want to clean it up and just go, hey, you know, so the next person come and go, whoa. Yeah. Okay, now Singapore, you have all the cleaning uncles, right?
Yeah, they came.
Sometimes I just give extra hands and uncles, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is mine. I'm like, wow, he's taking seriously about his job to make sure that this place is clean so that others, when they come in, they feel good when they come in. So I'm like, this is what it's like every time when we, you know, I think especially for Christians, right, members, sometimes we come into church, we're thinking that, okay, what can the worship leader do for me? What can a pastor make me feel good? But actually, it shouldn't be that. You should have that in the beginning of the day where you're aware of the presence of God. You say, God, what are you giving me, or what are you speaking to me that I can speak and can encourage, or I can prophesy, or I can bless someone?
Yeah.
Again, it's something that Alaris and I, we do on a regular basis. Yeah. Every month we set aside a certain amount of funds, and, you know, besides our offerings, our tithes and everything, but we do set aside certain funds where we call it the generosity fund, that we pray and ask the Lord, who can we bless this month? Whether it is a meal, whether it is a trip, you know, whether it is, you know, something that, because again, it is the hosting of the presence of the Lord. That's why Alaris spoke about when you're hosting the presence of God, generosity is one of the signs of that.
Yeah.
How do we serve? How do we be a blessing? So forth. Yeah.
So good. So good.
Cool.
This topic has taken a turn.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Why don't we just jump straight into some of the student questions? Because I think then, you know, it will give us some context for answering what hosting His presence is like. Maybe first question, and I think I hear this a lot from students. How can we hear the Holy Spirit clearly?
Great question.
I think I shared this before to my students that, you know, to hear His voice clearly is to, again, it sounds very simple, but it's very true, is the amount of time that you spend with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that intimacy and you don't have that quality of time with that person, what I mean by quality is leaning in to hear not just His voice but to hear His heart. You find that there's a consistency in the way how the Lord speaks. And I use it as an example, as a joke, but I think it's very true, you know. Like the person that knows me in terms from the day that I was born to, you know, my current age right now is my parents. I mean, even though, you know, I've moved out of house, been away from home for many years, but I can remember when I was really young, I mean, probably about maybe 12, 13 years old, you know, we would go to malls and stuff like that. And I remember, I mean, you know, malls are, you know, they're big, they're huge, and, you know, you have thousands of people, you know, especially in a rush hour, like lunchtime or dinner time. And sometimes, you know, I mean, being me, right, I like to explore, go around and do window shopping. Not that I can buy anything, but, you know, like, you know, when you're young, you like, oh, clothes or toys or shoes or anything that fascinates you, you know. And sometimes, you know, walking my family, and then I will take a detour, and then I will go missing. Or I'm not, no, my mom thinks I'm missing. And my mom being my mom, she's not the type of lady that, you know, okay, where's Calvin? She will use her voice. And she will scream her voice out, Calvin! Oh, where, you know. And so, but in a crowd of 1,000 people, in the midst of the noises and the, you know, hustle and everything, I can hear my mom's voice. Among, you know, 100 plus ladies and so forth. Why? Because I've grown up and I've been so in tune, and I have that relationship, mom, that I can just pick it up. So I think the same way as well, when you are walking with the Holy Spirit, when you're walking with Jesus, you know his ways.
Yeah.
You know what he's saying. I mean, of course, we have to get rid of the noises that competes against you. What are the noises that competes against you? This is a big one right here.
Yes.
A TV or even very close to our hearts is relationships, individuals that, you know, again, we might get into a moment of argument, gossip, slandering, all these things. These are all noises that, or even fear. Yeah. And they you know, if they take place in your heart, then you will make no room for the Lord to speak.
That's good.
So that's why part of that we talk about, it's important that we have to make room for the Lord. We have to clear our declutter our room, declutter things in our heart so that we can hear him clearly. Because the important thing is that, I'm not so sure, but when I come to know and walk with the Lord, a lot of time I realize my opinion doesn't matter. His opinion matters. So I can have all the wisdom and all the things, but coming back to the Word of God, coming back to hearing from him, it matters to me.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's that intimacy, it's that hearing his voice. Maybe my wife, another idea.
No, I mean, I think one thing that I hear from maybe even our students, and something that kind of hinders or blocks them from stepping out in faith and trusting that what they heard was the Holy Spirit, is that they think that they're so afraid to step out or release a word because they think, what if this is just me?
Me or my brain.
What if this is my own voice in my head, not the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
So I think the best way to grow in this is, you know, because first I want you guys to be able to overcome that fear, okay? Because number one, if you've given your life to Jesus,
yes,
you are his sheep, and the word says that the sheep hears the shepherd's voice.
Yep.
Okay, so sometimes when we believe that, what if this is my voice? Actually, it's a greater lie that you might believe that you don't even hear God's voice because you're not even God's child.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is, I want you to know that when you give your life to Jesus, you will hear his voice.
Okay.
And yes, you will grow in being able to discern, like, is this just me or is this God? Simply by knowing his word.
Yeah.
Okay, and what I say by that is, like, if is what you're hearing in your heart, say for someone, is that biblical?
Yeah.
Because if it's biblical, then go for it. Because what's the worst that can happen? That person is blessed.
Yeah.
You know. So that's how you grow. Because it first starts with the person of the Holy Spirit. So like knowing his heart, and you know his heart when you know his word and what he's like, who he's like. Yeah, and so don't be afraid to just step out if it's aligned with the word.
Yeah,
if it's aligned with the word, you know, it's very likely it's the Holy Spirit. And I forgot my other point.
but then that begs the question, right?
Yeah,
like, do you know the word?
And you need to know the word to know his voice.
Exactly. How can you test the words that you're hearing if you don't know the word of God?
Exactly.
Because so often I hear, there's not a, okay, anyway, I'll just say it. So often I hear words from people that are like, correct? Like could be correct?
Yeah.
But then when you really go and test it, right, it's like, but the word of God might say something different, you know, because like you can pick verses out of context.
Yeah.
Right. Or you can just take this and pluck this and just use it for the context that you're in. But then like, oh, maybe that's not what the word is actually saying. Maybe that's not God's heart in that particular text. So I do find that the more I spend time in the word of God,
the clearer you hear from
because
God, right?
Then I know, like, oh, that's God. That's not me.
Exactly.
Because I wouldn't be able to come up with that.
Yes. So I think that's a good one. So if you want to grow in hearing the Holy Spirit, then you need to know his voice, which is already given to us in the word of God.
Yeah, because it's like the infallible word of God, right?
Yes.
Like we don't need to
And he doesn't change.
Yeah, we don't need to check whether the Bible is correct. I mean, yes, you want to do your textual evidence of the legitimacy of the Bible, all that kind of stuff. But once you believe that the Bible is the word of God, like, lean in. Like, you can always know the word of God. And when you speak the words from the Bible as prophecy over people, you can 100% know that it's God. You know, like, Yes. When I pray Bible verses over people.
Yeah.
I don't need to ask if...
Yeah, like, God, is this you?
Is this you?
Yes, he already said it. Go yes. for it.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, the word of God is active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The living word of God has the ability and the power to wash over us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and it purifies our heart. So think about that. And I love what it says here in Philippians 4. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, which is the word of God. And whatever you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I think knowing that when you are washed by the word of God, by reading of it, by memorizing it, by letting it sink internally into your heart, there's a supernatural peace where when I encourage somebody with the word of God, or God gave me scripture, I'm not thinking twice whether the scripture is going to help them. The word of God doesn't need your help. It will perform what it needs to do, because in itself, it will stand on its own accord. Actually, I need the word of God to help me to actually bring truth to that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we underestimate, we think, okay, you know, like I remember sometimes when people pray, they're praying a lot of things, and I'm like, you know, start with praying the scriptures, because the scripture is the foundation, because his word will go forth and not return void.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I think if part of hearing his voice is knowing his word, part of knowing his word is being in his presence. And part of his being his presence is being aware of who he is and actually hosting him.
Good.
Yeah.
So good. Just one more point for that student asking the question, how to hear the Holy Spirit clearly. Maybe you're not hearing clearly because you're very cluttered.
Mm.
And I think you can actively fast certain things.
Yeah.
To
preach it.
You know, like, well, a group of us just came out of like the Isaiah 62 fast, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, like leading up to the fast, I was so bombarded by stuff like social media. I was scrolling endlessly, even though I don't like it and I know it doesn't give life, but I was just like, I don't know, desperately trying to escape or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the moment the fast started, suddenly like, bam, it's like everything
I can hear
was so
the
clear.
Lord.
Yeah, and like, God, you never left. Like, you were always there.
Yeah.
Like, and I hear you so clear, and like, it was started experiencing the presence of God so tangibly. And I was like, wow. Like, just actively.
100%.
I deactivated my Instagram, you know, and really actively decided not to look at social media, not to watch anything.
So
amazing.
Because, because there are things that wants to get close to your heart or get into your heart. What do you do to have that boundary? So like in the convergence I spoke about, it's interesting, like hosting his presence, suddenly I'm talking about fasting. But the reason why fasting helps, or fasting is very powerful, is because it is about intimacy.
Yeah.
You're willing to forgo the pleasures of the world or the things that holds dealing your heart to make room for him to come in, to have his way and have his presence in there. And so, in fact, you know, when I talk about fasting, it's really holy restraint, self-control. So when you have self-control, you are able to have the choice to decide who do you want to let in and who do you want to let out.
That's right.
And so that's why I think for us, when we have too many choices, when we bombard that, then we become very, very selective. So imagine if you have no option, you have only one option. So live in such a way that you have no option but to hear from him first. That's why the Lord loves taking us out into the wilderness.
No option.
Yep. That's why. And you know, the Israelite, you know, they were in Egypt. I mean, they were in slavery, and they brought them out. They're like, yeah, we're freedom. And the Lord brought them to Mount Sinai. And literally that place is like thorn and bushes and wilderness. But God says, but you're so concerned about things. I am the one that provides for you.
That's right.
And I'm chosen you, and I want to make my covenant relationship real with you. But of course, they couldn't comprehend that, even though they want God, but then they didn't want him. And then
they want stuff.
They want stuff. So guess what? They made a golden calf. So that very thing they tried to worship was not the thing that helped them.
Yeah. So challenge you or encourage you
Yes.
to fast. Next question, okay, which I think is very pertinent to our world today.
Yeah. Good, good.
Okay, so when we think about biblical stories that talk about hosting the presence of God, we always think about Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Mary sits at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Martha's like angry because she's like, what's Mary doing? Come on, get her to help me. And then Jesus like, well, she has chosen the better thing.
Yeah.
And it will not be taken away from her. And so then we... I have the tendency to put them at two extremes. Like, I have to be Mary, I cannot be Martha, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's very funny because, like, some people are like, no, I'm supposed to rest in the Lord. And then, like, basically becomes idol or, like, I-D-L-E, like, don't do anything.
Yeah.
But how can we can't all just be always sitting down at Jesus' feet, literally, right? So can you explain what it means to be Mary in our daily lives where, you know, we have stuff to do.
Yeah.
Like, as a parent, you can't stop parenting because I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know? So how can we actually be Mary, like the spirit of Mary in our busyness?
Yeah. I think the point of that story and that passage is not so much about, you know, the dichotomy of it's either you choose rest or you... choose
work.
To be busy. Actually, the whole point of that story is whether you are in such communion with the Holy Spirit that you know when He is saying to sit at my feet and when He is saying to, okay, now go and do. Yes, because what makes you think that Mary didn't do things?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that Mary was, you know, like, you know, I don't believe that was 100% of the time that she's like, the feet of Jesus, you know, but the point is she was so in tune with God's heart. She was so in that place of communion and intimacy with Him that she knew when the Lord wanted her to be still, and I believe when the Lord said, okay, now go, you know. So the point is not, you know, are you a Mary or a Martha? The whole point is to be like Mary, which is she knew when she was supposed to sit at her master's feet and when she was supposed to go out and do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how does that apply to our everyday lives? Is that the whole point is, are you listening to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Every day, are you prioritizing what the Holy Spirit wants for us? And that's the way that you live that lifestyle of Mary every day. It doesn't mean that you don't do work. It means that you're prioritizing what Jesus wants you to do. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the scriptures. I'm so tickled by it. In Luke 10, it says that, I mean, you can catch this here. It says, now they went on their way and Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him. Who did she welcome?
Jesus.
Into her house. And it says here, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Okay, when you welcome someone in his house, you must pay attention to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it says here, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Okay. Yeah. So obviously it was not just Jesus that came, the crowd that came with them as well, or whoever came. And when she went up to him saying, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Okay. So that's very interesting. So the focus is me. Look at me. I'm doing so much. Don't you care that I'm doing so much? I'm am I the only one in this house here? It's interesting that she didn't tell Jesus about Lazarus.
Yeah, why is Lazarus in the story?
Yeah, so, but I think the funny thing is that sometimes you can use your activity and your serving from a place of self-righteousness and say that I'm more worthy than someone who has not done much.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God's correcting that.
And sometimes we again, especially in ministry, sometimes we post or we do a lot of activity. Look, but that does not measure your intimacy with the Lord.
Whew.
It doesn't. I mean, you think it is. It may not necessarily. If that's the case, then we should be posting so many things. But you got to find out if the picture, is it you in the center of the picture that says it.
Look at me serving
you. And so again, I like we love Uncle Bill's illustration of what the story is. You know, it's not that, you know, Mary didn't care. It's just that, you know, Martha was making sandwiches for Jesus that he never ordered. And are we, like, when I say making sandwiches, are we doing a lot of activities, a lot of things that Jesus did not ask us to do? And so one of the things that I've been sharing this with my staff team that, in two very simple things, you know, if we are ministering to the Lord, if we are, you know, having like our meetings and our ministry and everything, one of the most probably important point of contact for me is that the Lord show up. Jesus show up, but she was not attending to him. She was attending to other people's need.
Yeah,
so if Jesus show up and Mary was there, right there at his feet, you know, then she's attending to the Lord. And the second thing is that, did we do what he asked us to do?
Yeah.
We can do so many things. And this is the part here. Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha. I don't know whether he was scolding her or he was just,
Martha,
you know, drawing her back, drawing her back. And he says that, you are so anxious. Wow. What does anxiety looks like? It looks like I'm missing out on something. I'm being FOMO. Anxious, that means that I got to make sure to look good so that, you know, I looked at it. It says, you're anxious and troubled by many things, too much clutter, but one thing is necessary. So what is the priority? Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. So it's not about being busy, but it's about prioritizing the important thing, which is intimacy and leaning and listening and hearing the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, I get in trouble all the time as well. And I realize that, I'm using, again, my family as an example. You know, I'm very quick to do, but very slow to listen.
Mm.
So, like, for example, you know, my parents will say, okay, guys, we're going to go out on a date night or we're going to go on a trip. You and your sisters, I have three sisters, right? I'm the third. Okay, I need you guys to, you know, and it's like, yeah, mommy. And I'm playing my game. Okay. But guys were, you know, playing, yeah. And then my mom would stop me. She would stop my gaming. She said, did you listen to me? What I'm telling you? And the way how she thinks I'm listening to her or what her expectation is, I stop playing my game and look at her eyeball to eyeball with full attention and going, yes, mom. Okay. Yes, I got your instruction. Now follow through with the instructions. Many times we are like, oh yes, Lord, I love you. And yeah, Lord, I'm, you know, doing all this thing. And then we come back and then we're like, Lord, I thought we, you know, the Lord says, you were doing things, but you didn't have me as your priority.
Wow.
You were not paying attention to me. And so doing the things is important, but the priority is sitting at his feet and listening to him. And so that he might tell you something that you might not even know or might not, the others might not know around you. That's why for me, it was very fascinating when I talk about the story of Mary, about how, you know, she came into the room full of people, even the disciples was there, and she bought a very expensive ointment or flask, or some might describe as alabaster jar, and she poured in front of Jesus, and she wiped his feet. But it's interesting that Judas, the disciple, says, wow, which this can go into good cause and everything. So sometimes we think that, oh, a lot of things can be done well or can go towards good charity, but if it's not unto the Lord, it's wasteful.
Yeah.
And to me that was interesting when you read the scriptures, that it says that Mary did this having in mind to prepare for him for his burial. So it's almost, I mean, again, it's my opinion that I feel like you cannot understand the depth of the things of the Lord unless you've spent time with him.
Yeah.
I might know Delphine about, okay, she's a songwriting mentor, she looks after marketing. But if I don't spend time and hear her heart, maybe there are desires of her heart that she may not share in public. But if I get a glimpse of it, how do I position myself to serve her, to make her feel love, is I will go the extra mile. And I think that the Lord is wanting to reveal then his heart desire for the things that is in his heart. But we will only meet him where he's at and his minimum and do the bare minimum, actually not go beyond that, and says, actually, I want to go the extra mile for you, Lord. I know that you didn't think about it, but I'm thinking more. And then he will show up and go, wow, you have my heart in mind. And that's why David was called a man after God's own heart, building him a resting place, even though the Lord did not ask him to.
Yeah.
So I think it's going beyond that and learning to trust him and to lean into him. So yeah.
Yeah. I think the words that really jumped out when you read the passage was, "And Martha was distracted with much serving."
Mm. Distracted, like, it's anxious.
It's almost like applicable to all of us today, like busy in church, busy at work, like,
yeah,
like we're serving.
Yeah.
And you think it's correct, a good thing, right?
Yeah,
it's correct. But what happens if your serving becomes a distraction to what the Lord wants?
Yeah.
And I think I mean, it really does affect me like quite a lot. I do feel sometimes when I get anxious about work or anxious about ministry. The Lord always encourages me to come back to that place of prayer.
Yeah.
And bringing it before Him rather than like try to do stuff first.
Yeah.
My response first is to do. Then I know that I'm being a Martha, like in that scenario, right? I'm trying to meet all the needs, trying to do all these things, and no wonder I get tired. No wonder I get anxious, right? But the Lord is like, no, sit at my feet first.
Yeah.
Hear what I want this to be. Hear my heart for you.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when I go and do it, it's like, well, okay, I feel like a lot more peace.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more steady. Like, it's okay if things don't go the way I thought it should. Yeah, but obviously it comes with a bit of wrestling also to choose to slow down, choose to prioritize God.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that that exposed something in Martha's heart, which could the Lord, again, I'm so grateful that He didn't shame her, but He exposed in her heart that was she pleasing the Lord or was she pleasing man?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we can fall into that trap of being man-pleaser or having the fear of man to look good, but yet internally we are struggling because it's out of insecurity.
Yeah.
And I think God wants us to move from that place of insecurity to a place of security in Him and putting our faith in Him. That means that you got to come to a place where, again, not saying you don't really care what people think, but it's just the fact that my priority is pleasing Him first. That's why hosting His presence is about pleasing Him first. When I please Him, when I have Him in mind, then from that place of fellowship, from the place of encounter, I can serve others better. So I've, you know, and again, something that I'm working on continuously all the time is that if I'm not in communion, in unity with the Holy Spirit, it would overflow or it will flow out from that place of insecurity and grumpiness and to my wife, to my team and everything. But if I have that place of just fellowship with the Lord in that ministering, then it overflows out. So whatever you put in your heart will come out.
That's great.
Yeah. So my encouragement for all of us is get that starting point. Again, we're not saying that, you know, in my strength finder, one of my top five is responsibility. So I am responsible in making sure things that get done and stuff like that. And because why I hold it to a very high regard. But I don't take that to extremity where it causes everybody to stumble around me. And I think sometimes we do that. We are so fixated in getting things right that we are willing to destroy a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Martha. You know, Martha was willing to put Mary on the chopping board in front of the Lord and says, look, you know, she's
anything.
I mean, that's why I'm thinking like Martha would have just pulled Mary and said, hey, I know you love the Lord, but can you help me? That's different, right? But she didn't go straight to Mary. She went straight to the Lord. Jesus, I went to the boss. So I'm like, man, you know, putting her in a chopping board. So yeah. So yeah.
Well, thank you all for, I mean, that was just such an insightful conversation and I think the Lord really led it. So maybe to close, Calvin, would you like to pray?
Yeah.
Or the mothers out there?
Okay, sure. I'll pray.
My wife can pray for the Martha and Marys.
Father, we just thank you just for revealing your heart today, Lord, that you love to dwell with your people. And if only we, Lord, would also have that heart that we would love to dwell with you, Lord, 24/7, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for all of us that's listening to this. Father, help us grow, Lord, to a new measure of the awareness of your Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Father,
Lord,
that you are always speaking to us, Lord, that you're always, Lord, speaking life over us and life over others, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, I pray that you would increase our capacity, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, that we would be willing to lay aside distractions, that we would be willing to lay aside things that clutter our hearts, Lord, so that we can have more of you. Lord, so help us, Lord, also give us a new love for the Word of God, Lord, that we would love to consume your Word and Lord, to know you deeper, Yeah, so Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are releasing just fresh grace for all our listeners, Lord, Father, to go deeper in intimacy and communion with you. So Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
As we close this episode, let's spend some time in quiet reflection at the Lord's feet, that we may choose the better thing of loving and prioritizing Him. Here's Better Thing by Awakened Generation.
Now we'll sit at the feet of the Lord. No intention of moving this spot is my reward. I will sit at the feet of the Lord. With no sense of time, this is what I am living for. I have chosen the better thing. I have chosen the better thing. I have chosen the better thing. And He says it will not be taken away from me. I will sit at the feet of the Lord. No intention of moving this spot is my reward. And I will sit feet of the Lord. With no sense of time, this is what I am living for. And I have chosen the better thing. Chosen the better thing. And I have chosen the better.